We are going to take a look at Rahab this morning. That is in Joshua chapter 2. Let's go with no. There we go. Now, Rahab the harlot, found in the book of Joshua, introduces us to a faithful woman. Now, faithful woman and harlot are not usually words that go together. However, she is one of only two women mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. And her story tells us a little bit about how God accepts people no matter what the background. One of the things that we need to keep in mind as we read the Old Testament is that the Old Testament is not about the Israelites. The Old Testament is about God. The story of Rahab is found in Joshua, starting in chapter 2. Go ahead and flip there. We're going to spend some time there this morning. Now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, it's about time for the folks to head into the promised land. But their first obstacle is Jericho. And we're talking about 1400 ballpark B.C., where Israel's about to go in. Now, Moses is already dead. Joshua has assumed the leadership of the people. And we're going to run into Rahab. Joshua sends two spies to scout out the city. And in the course of events, those spies are going to run into Rahab. And the king of Jericho knows that the spies have gone to see Rahab, and so he sent men to go and get them from Rahab's place. But Rahab kept them safe and helped the spies to escape. And because of her faith, she and her family are spared the destruction of Jericho. We're going to learn some powerful lessons from Rahab. Her example demonstrates a living faith in a forgiving God and a merciful God. She was used by God to play a role in forming the lineage of Jesus. And we'll get more into that later. But first, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11. It's up on the slide. You don't have to flip there. It's just the one verse. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. Is it possible for us to learn something from the life of Rahab and use it today? She was a harlot. She was a Gentile. She was despised by men and her own father because she's not living under his roof, even though he lives in the same city. One of the first lessons that we can learn from Rahab is that godly fear leads to faith. After helping the spies to escape the soldiers of Jericho's king, Rahab speaks these words from Joshua chapter 2, starting in verse 9. I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. One of the things that struck me as I was reading this, you know how long ago it was that the Red Sea was parted by the time Rahab says this? 40 years ago. Now think back on that. That's, for us, that would be 1977. What was in the news in 1977 that you remember? Nothing? You almost died?
Elvis died.
Oh, Elvis died. Okay, thank you, sir. Clearly it didn't affect my life. 40 years ago, the news doesn't bother me. But Rahab's been stewing on it a lot over those 40 years. It's not just Rahab that fears the Israelites. The whole city has heard about it. And the miracles didn't go unnoticed, especially after the army of the greatest power of their time, that would have been the Egyptians, were destroyed by God. Now, many of the people feared the Israelites. But it seems that only Rahab took that fear and took it a step further and transformed it into a faith, into a belief in a powerful God. She acted upon her fear and recognized that the God of Israel is a true God, both in heaven above and on earth beneath. There was opportunity for her to trust God. There's little doubt that Rahab felt the same fear that everybody else in the city felt. However, as the years passed by, Rahab thought about how God had delivered his people from the Egyptian Empire and those two kings. And slowly but surely, the fear of Rahab turned into a godly fear. That type of fear helps people to think in a right perspective. And godly fear means recognizing an immensely powerful God and recognizing ourselves as insignificant in front of that power. But despite our insignificance, God chose to send His Son to die for our sins. And because of this, God deserves our respect and our reverence. And Rahab figured that out. We're not sure how she arrived at that thought process, but we know that she did. Because of Rahab, fearing God, she was able to develop godly wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Rahab feared God, and her life and the lives of her family were spared because she developed this faith, because of her fear of the Lord. And like Rahab, we can dedicate our lives to learning the right kind of fear toward God. God doesn't want us to live in worldly fear, but He wants us to have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, "For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Like what Solomon, the wisest man during his lifetime, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is man's all." Lesson number two that we learn from Rahab is that there is no sin so great that God cannot forgive it. God is merciful, and throughout the Bible, we see many descriptions of His undying mercy to His people. There's one in Lamentations chapter 3, verse starting in verse 22. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." Rahab was that prostitute. In Haley's Bible handbook, it suggests that perhaps she was a temple prostitute. But that didn't raise her more than about a half a step above just a regular prostitute, which may be why, despite the fact she was living in the same city with her father and her father's family, she had her own house. Because it's likely that her parents threw her out. However, that didn't excuse her sinful life according to the standards of God. And we need to know that the city of Jericho is a prominent place for idol worship. And the Canaanites mostly are worshiping Ashtaroth, the goddess of the moon. And you know, prostitutes then weren't looked on much differently than they are now. And a lot of people see them as low people who don't deserve to be part of God's church. But even though harlot, it will be forever attached to Rahab's name. Her sin is not greater than God's mercy. In Hebrews 11, Sarah and Rahab are the only two mentioned, only two women mentioned. Now, why would a righteous, holy, and powerful God call this harlot, this Gentile, to be part of the lineage of Christ? Well, the answer lies in the mercy of God, because God does not play favorites. Look in Romans chapter 2, verse 11. Though during Rahab's time, God is primarily working with the Israelites, salvation is not limited just to them. As long as they recognize that God is God and follow His will for your life, you are welcomed to the family of God. Through the mercy of God, Rahab was given an opportunity to repent of her sins and turn her life completely around. Now, we're going to go into how we know that a little later. For right now, let's take my word for it, and then we'll get to the scripture. Rahab was living in faith when she recognized that she needed God. She knew that she couldn't continue to live the way that she was living. Because if she had continued to live the way that she was living, she would have died with the rest of the people in the city. But Rahab wasn't just looking for forgiveness. She showed her repentant attitude by turning away from the society and culture in which she had lived her entire life. Because, you know, repentance means a reversal. It means a change. Repentance is asking for God's forgiveness and having the determination to do something different with your life. Repentance would never be complete without some type of change in our lives. No matter how sorry or remorseful we are, if we don't change, the sorriness isn't worth much. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, "For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." And you ask yourself, why does the sorrow of the world produce death? Because it doesn't produce a change. Remember that Christ's sacrifice covered all sins. And as long as we repent and turn from our wicked ways, God is willing to forgive us and accept us. And instead of running away from God when we commit sins, we need to run toward Him and ask for forgiveness. So lesson number two. There are no sins that you are going to commit that God's mercy can't cover. Lesson number three. God will frequently protect many for the sake of one. Rahab is not the only Canaanite who is saved by her faith. Now, it would have been easier for Rahab to just think about her own safety. But she was better than that. And before she let the spies escape through a window, she asked them, "Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." She only saved two lives. She's asking for a lot in this particular bargain. But that was the type of faith that Rahab already had. And remember that she's only heard the stories of how the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and defeated mighty kings. And though she had only heard that, she had already come to a point in her life where she believed it to be true, and she knew that this city was about to die. She didn't just believe that God existed. She had developed the faith that He was powerful and He could protect her and her family from the destruction that was about to fall on this city. Now, Rahab could have placed her faith on the walls, and they were thick walls. We found that city. If you just are bored someday and would like to see them, type it into a Google search. You can find the walls of Jericho. They're thick. They're significant. She could have just dismissed the power of God. She could have just betrayed the two spies and had done. She'd have been hero in Jericho. you know, for a week. But she didn't. She put the safety of her entire household in the belief that God was able to deliver them from danger. Instead of trusting the walls of Jericho, Rahab trusted God. In this situation, it's worth noting that God is willing as well to save other people for the sake of His own people. Of course, it's possible that the family of Rahab might have had some faith similar to hers, because after all, they did come to her house. But I guess it is interesting to me that God honors the bargain. What happens when the Israelites march around the city? The walls fall down. This has nothing to do with the Israelites. This has everything to do with God. And the part of the wall that was Rahab's house stood. Christians need to remember that God's mercy extends to anyone who's willing to reach out to Him. God sent Jesus Christ to die for everyone on earth, not just for a select few. Therefore, through the faith of some, many will be saved. And that shows us part of the plan of God. The story of Rahab, this Canaanite, this Gentile woman, represents the promise of God to reveal salvation to non-Israelites as well. But lesson number 4 is that we worship God on God's terms, not ours. Rahab was raised in a pagan city, and she did not have the teachings that the Jews had. There was no instruction manual for her, but she became a godly woman out of faith. And by the time that the Israelites visited her, she had heard the stories about their deliverance from Egypt and how God had promised to have to give them a land that they could call their own. And after helping those spies, she was saved on 2 conditions that had to be met. First, she had to bind a line of scarlet cord in the same window where the spies had escaped. And second, everyone had to be inside that house during the attack. In Joshua chapter... You found that in Joshua chapter 2, verse 18. Now, for Rahab and her family to be saved, they had to obey. There's no doubt that God is not willing for anyone to perish, but would have all come to repentance from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Through God's grace, we are saved, and not of our own doing. But God expects us to do something to develop the righteousness and godly character required to rule in His kingdom. We cannot believe in God and go against His will. Our faith and action must be consistent. In James chapter 2, verse 25, we read, "Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" Rahab could have dismissed the conditions set by the spies and followed other guidelines that she thought were more convenient. By doing so, the Israelites wouldn't have known which house to save. We have to worship and follow God according to His will, not ours. There are too many people who are willing to say, "Okay, God exists, but I'm not going to do what He says." God expects us to worship Him in truth and in spirit, according to John chapter 4, verse 24. And like Rahab, though she was a former pagan and idol worshiper, she didn't argue. She did what she was supposed to do. She submitted to the will and commandments of God, and instead of continuing to worship God according to her knowledge, she gave up all of that and worshiped God genuinely in truth and in spirit. Is there any doubt that Rahab was a sinner? She's called Rahab the harlot, and she's gone through history as Rahab the harlot. But does that mean that all her hope is gone? No, because she obeyed God. And we have the same option. We can obey God. We can repent and be baptized and live a life pleasing to Him. But the story of Rahab doesn't end in saving the two spies. Because later on we read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. Flip over there if you'd like to. Chapter 6, verse 25. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwells in Israel even to this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho, Rahab and her family. God's plans are bigger than our failures. Rahab eventually learns more about God. She grew exponentially in her knowledge of God and developed a character that attracted a prominent tribal leader of Judah. She married a dude by the name of Salmon. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 5. The marriage of Salmon and Rahab gave birth to Boaz. Boaz marries Ruth. That union leads to Obed. Obed sires Jesse. Jesse sires King David. And ultimately, Jesus Christ comes through Rahab. Rahab's life can inspire us to obey God. No matter who you are, God can use you. If you'd like to know more about how to know God or how He can use you in His kingdom, you can come forward this morning as together we stand and as we sing.